Hello and welcome to another episode of Nonprofit Vision. This is your host, Greg Nielsen, President and CEO of Nielsen Training and Consulting, where we work with nonprofits all across the country to translate your vision into reality. From governance issues to strategic planning, organizational development, and even coaching, we help to translate your vision into reality. And we're thrilled to be back with another episode of the podcast today. And I'm joined by a guy I've known for a long time who has a really interesting background. And we're going to have a fun back and forth banter conversation here about the nonprofit CEO board chair relationship, a guy who's worn a lot of different hats in organizations, TD Smyers. TD is currently the regional partnership director of an organization called Board Build, also doing a bunch of other cool stuff on his own. TD, welcome to the podcast.
Greg's great to be here. I'm just like you said, I'm thrilled to be here for another episode. So thanks for inviting me. We are going to have some fun, man.
TD, I know you will, but our listeners may not. Give our folks a little bit of an overview of your background, your leadership journey.
Sure. Okay. Thanks. Well, it started when I got into the U.S. Naval Academy from a small town in Texas, which I'm fairly certain was computer error, but I'm going to chalk it up to being qualified. So I got into that place. I did a career in the U.S. Navy as a flyer, did 31 years, and finished up as the commanding officer of a joint air base. And then immediately wanted to take what the Navy had taught me for 30 plus years and invested in service again. So I went back into the workplace as a nonprofit executive. I was the CEO, the regional CEO for the American Red Cross in North Texas. Did that for about 4 years. Launched a nonprofit as the USS Fort Worth Support Committee around that same time. And then got recruited into a role leading United Way of Tarrant County. A role I did for about 4 years, in which we developed in partnership with Leadership Fort Worth, the company that would become Board Build. And after that, my wife and I were pretty ready for a break. So we did what I guess is fashionable these days. We took a career pause, a career break. And
you took a gap year.
We took a gap 3 years. We sold everything we had and went and sailed. We sailed up and down the East Coast, out and through the Bahamas a couple times and down into the Caribbean. And if it hadn't been for COVID, we might still be doing it. But COVID kind of sent us back. And when we landed back here, I got involved in leadership development and coaching, something I still do. I continually work as an executive coach and a board consultant, especially in this piece we're talking about here, this relationship between the chief executive and the board chair, and then began expanding Board Build beyond North Texas into regions across America. And that's been really exciting because it's put me in touch with people, you know, literally in all the contiguous 48 states. And we've expanded into South Texas. We've expanded into Washington State through a partnership there with Three Rivers Community Foundation, and then into Nebraska through Omaha's POC Collaborative Partnership. So a lot of exciting stuff going on there, and I'm having a lot of fun since we came back ashore, but I still dream about sailing every day.
TD, we're going to jump right into the conversation, and I'm going to make a bold statement at the beginning of the conversation, which is that I think the relationship between the chief executive and the board chair is the most critical relationship in a nonprofit organization. Agree or disagree?
I wholeheartedly agree. As a matter of fact, if you peel that back and you look at the well-known phrase that leadership drives everything, and if you agree with that, then you've got to take a look at the two top leaders, the one volunteer leader and the one professional services leader, and the relationship they have as the thing that drives success or failure in any organization, especially nonprofits, but this applies also to for-profit companies, to private sector companies. So yeah, wholeheartedly agree with you.
TD, one of the things that I've found throughout my career is that leadership moves at the speed of trust. Mm-hmm. And one of the most critical, one of the most challenging, quite frankly, aspects of nonprofit leadership is that frequent turnover in the board chair position. So as a CEO, how did you go about building a level of trust with new chairs as they rotated in every year, every 2 years, whatever that cadence might have been?
You know, this is a great point. And before I get into answering your question directly, it draws kind of a surprise comparison between the private sector and the social or nonprofit sector. You know, because there are board structures in each. They're slightly different, but they have a lot of parallels, right? A lot of overlaps, a lot of similarities. And I learned something the other day that the average Fortune 500 company, the age of the average Fortune 500 company is 7.9 years. That's short, relatively speaking. And then the average turnover for a for-profit CEO, private sector CEO, is 4.9 years. So in the lifespan of an average Fortune 500 company, they may be looking at a turnover or a succession situation maybe once or twice. You contrast that with the nonprofits who look at this, as you're pointing out, pretty routinely. We have a fairly high rate of turnover of chief executives. In some areas, however, you have the other end of the spectrum where you have people that have been leading the same organization for two decades. And then you have term limits where you have your board chairs rotating. So especially in the social sector, this relationship becomes crucial. So, and for me to answer your question directly, I've got to confess right up front, I've done this well and I've done this poorly.
Amen, haven't we all?
Right? Instead, because I have had some of the most fulfilling relationships with the men and women that have chaired my boards. I have been a board chair. I've been a good one and a bad one. And I have had some of the most toxic and confrontational relationships with my chairs of my board as a nonprofit executive. And through those situations, it's taught me that there are kind of four foundational traits that underlie a healthy relationship. And the first one is clarity. I just think of it as C. I'm a retired Navy flyer, Greg. So getting things into four acronyms that spell a word, I like to do that. So if you can think of CART, right? Clarity, the first C, clarity of roles. So when I've met with a new board chair, I make really sure we go over the bylaws together, that chair understands their role and my role, and where those two roles can be compatible and supportive of each other, and where they could be potentially where they could bring up a problem if we start to step on each other. So clarity of roles is a big thing. The A in CART, the next point, is alignment. I try to make sure that whoever is selected for that chairmanship, as they come up, and of course, we'll talk maybe succession down the road and how we manage that. But alignment doesn't mean agreement, because that's really foolhardy to try to seek somebody that agrees with you on everything. It's also potentially not healthy for the nonprofit, because you want some kind of healthy organizational friction where the board chair challenges the CEO sometimes. So I think the A of alignment works better. So you want clarity, you want alignment. And then the last two refer to how you introduced this topic: respect and trust. They're not the same thing. I had a board chair who was a retired CEO of a Fortune 500 pharmaceutical company. I had a lot of respect for what he had accomplished in his career. I respected him as a professional, but I didn't trust him because I felt like he had an agenda. And so respect and trust can be very different things. You need them both. So clarity, alignment, respect, and trust, I think, underlie that relationship. And when I've met with a new board chair, those are the four things I try to focus on.
It's amazing, TD. Just like you have, I've had board chairs what I've worked really well with, and we were on the same page, and it makes the job feel so much more rewarding and so much
Oh,
more
yeah.
positive. When you're working with a board chair where those aren't present, or the respect or the trust aren't present, it's the same job, right? You're still the CEO, you're still the chief executive of the organization, but man, can it feel different, and it can drain the energy right from you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's part of the reason why, like I told you, when my wife and I came back from sailing, I was like, man, I'm not sure I want to do this again, because it can be a butt whipping if the board chair is, and you don't have mutual respect and trust for each other. And in the situation I alluded to earlier, I had a board chair that was trying to do the role of the CEO and was stepping on me to advance these things. And like you said, I'm still day to day doing the role that I would be doing, and eventually got over that speed bump. But it's energy that you're not directing elsewhere if you're trying to salvage or sustain or somehow fix a toxic relationship. So you're right, man. It can be a real butt whipping if you don't get this right out of the gate.
And a lot of times, you're right. We sit down with our board chairs. We talk about the bylaws. We talk about expectations, and kind of the mechanics of the position. What I also always like to talk about was kind of the less frequently talked about topics. What's your communication style? What's your leadership style? Are you a direct communicator or an indirect communicator? What's your relationship with conflict? Do you lean in? Do you lean out? Those are the those tend to be the areas that manifest themselves most closely or most clearly in that in that relationship.
Yeah, I think what you just said was very insightful. And I think if you're going to look at how you actually determine those things and see if it's going to be a good fit, is by being smart about how you bring up a board chair. You know, I'm speaking now from a chief executive point of view. And of course, the opposite applies too. You know, if you're a board chair, you're ultimately overseeing the hiring of the new chief executive, right? So ensuring that that chief executive is a good fit for where that organization is going in the future, not where they've been, but where they're going. If you're going to be doing a capital campaign, if you're going to be doing some kind of transformation, you need the kind of leader who's suited to that upcoming challenge and beyond. So both ways, and we'll maybe talk a little bit, like I said, about succession. But if I'm looking at people in my board who are maybe chairing committees, I'm looking for people who are going to have those kind of characteristics, just like you just described. They're going to have communication styles and leadership styles and managerial styles or managerial direction and communication ways that are aligned with what where we need to go. So yeah, it's big time, and it's a two-way street in terms of accountability when you're talking a board chair and a chief executive.
As a CEO, was there one quality or characteristic that you found in your career that was a predictor of someone who would be a good board chair working with you?
Another great question. Yeah, and it was generally, it's surprising too, because you would think that the same kind of things that propelled somebody to a top position, and most of the time, the people that we have on our nonprofit boards are high achievers. They're people who are either have achieved great things in their professional life or are on the way to achieving great things in their professional life. So they're oftentimes type A's, they're oftentimes overachievers, they're oftentimes people who at the top of the game, your 40 over 40s, your C-suite executives, you know, these kind of folks. But the alignment to the mission and the experience with the mission is a common thread in everybody I know who has been successful in it. For example, you know, if you're in an organization like United Way, which does a lot of different things, I found that people who had had a long volunteer history with the organization and had developed that passion over time were the people that understood how it worked. They understood the role of the chief executive, and they stood their own, understood their own role as the lead volunteer, as a board member, board chair. So that passion and experience in the mission of the organization is one thing that's been common to all the great board chairs that I was blessed to work with in my time.
Now, TD, I'm going to flip the script and talk about the other side. You said
Okay.
you've been a board chair yourself.
Yeah.
What was the one or two things that you looked for from the chief executive of the organization that put you in position to be successful as a board chair? What were you looking for from that relationship?
Well, what I should have been looking for, let me start with that, was what we talked about earlier. You know, who is going to be able to bring this organization forward where we're going? You know, oftentimes we look back and we try to pick up somebody who's like the person that we're trying to replace most of the time. So I should stipulate there are two situations that a succession situations that you can find yourself in as a board chair who's looking for a chief executive. You've got an organization that's doing great. It's firing on all cylinders, and you need somebody to sustain that success with the agility to be able to sense and respond changes in the environment, things that need to change. The level of risk tolerance in that situation is much, much different than if you've got a failing organization that's on imminent decline, it's about to fall off the cliff, you're going to have to lock the doors and turn off the lights, you know, within a matter of months. You need somebody there who is going to make change happen right away. So their risk tolerance is going to need to be broader, need to be a stronger level of risk that they're able to take on and work through with a team. So risk management as appropriate to the situation that the environment is in is, in my opinion, the most crucial and the easiest thing to be able to see from their background. You know, you alluded to things earlier that you want to try to maintain and or find out about people when you're going to bring them on, whether it's into a board chair role or a chief executive role. And it's hard sometimes. You know, you can ask people, hey, are you a micromanager? No, nobody's going to admit to being a micromanager, right? But those things are difficult in an interview process, but in somebody on somebody's resume, you can see the kinds of things that they've been challenged by, that they've had to overcome, and that they've achieved in. So you can get a pretty good gauge for what the risk tolerance of a chief executive is coming in. And if I could flesh out real quick, like I said, I love these four-letter acronyms, right? So the CEO board chair relationship is sustained day to day by another four characteristics. And the first one of these is friction. This sounds funny, right? When I you're telling me that there should be friction between the board chair and the chief executive. Yes, friction, comma, the good kind, right? The positive kind, healthy friction, right? Where the chief executive is challenged by the board chair in a healthy way, in a beneficial way that brings on the benefit of that board chair's experience in their industry, right?
We hear that
Healthy
all the
friction.
time, TD, with artists and performers, actors, in terms of creative tension, right? Some of them produce their best work when there is a creative tension on set, in their office, whatever the setting might be.
That's a great example. And the way you termed it is great. It's a creative tension. And that creative tension, you look at nonprofits, a lot of times our work is more art than science. And so there's a direct equivalency there. So that's a beautiful way to put it. And it's one of those reasons why in the beginning, when I said it's important for the board chair and the chief executive to be aligned, but not in agreement about everything, right? Because some of that disagreement will feed that healthy organizational friction. The next point is it starts with the A. If the acronym is FAST. So if maybe there's something there, FAST card. That may, maybe I should,
There's a
like
I see a NASCAR
copyright that or
logo
something.
coming up.
Now you're talking. So anyway, the next one is A, and that's for accountability. And that's another thing that we sometimes makes us cringe, because we think accountability, we think discipline or getting in trouble or being docked or being fired or something like that. But it's really just about doing the job you're supposed to do. And it's mutual between the board chair because sometimes the first people that are going to see that they're slacking board members is going to be the chief executive's office, right? Because oftentimes they administer the board retention and participation and cooperation, and so there may be a situation where you've got to go to your board chair and have a board member held accountable. And so, this accountability does work both ways. And then the last two, just real quick, are succession, because that's something that's constantly should be constantly being worked on within the organization, both from the board side and, of course, the professional staff side. And then teamwork. It's I call them the dynamic duo. The chief executive and the board chair, they can have all that healthy organizational friction. They can call each other out. They can even have some pretty heated conversations, which I'm sure you have, right? I have
Absolutely.
two. I have two. I've almost gone to blows with one of them, but that's a story for another podcast. And but when you call the press in and you're announcing the new strategy or the new direction, or you're about to cut the ribbon on a new building or something, you're standing side by side, you're presenting a united front on behalf of the organization. So teamwork becomes really important in the day-to-day operation.
TD, you mentioned that concept of teamwork, and the healthiest boards are ones that have a culture of accountability on the team itself. As the CEO, there's only so much that person can do to promote a culture of accountability and hold board members accountable. Part of that is having a partner in the board chair who is able to hold other board members accountable. How have you seen that work well in that dynamic?
When there's some kind of a peer review process, some kind of an objective measurement of board participation and accountability. For example, maybe I've seen some boards that develop a point system. If there's a financial obligation and you meet that or exceed that, that's worth a certain number of points. Participation in the in showing up for the meetings is worth a certain number of points. But showing up side by side with the chief executive or another one of the professional staff at a press conference or a ribbon cutting or some kind of event is a certain number of points. So if you establish an objective way to measure board member participation, and you've got a board chair who ideally helped design that, right? So they've got ownership in that. Then they'll hold those board members accountable, and they've got the data to do it. A lot of times we don't want to have those conversations, and I've had that happen both as a volunteer leader and as a chief executive. We delay having those crucial conversations because we don't want to say, "Hey, you're not performing as a board member,
Right.
and you're occupying a seat for somebody who could." But about 75% of the time or better that I've had those, The board member said, you know what? I should have made this call myself about 3 months ago. I've been too busy. I've been changing jobs. I've got this going on and I can't contribute. So you're absolutely right. Maybe I can come back in another year when the dust settles, right? So accountability is a very, very positive thing, as you brought up, for the organization. If you can have objective measurements that are data-driven and a board chair who owns those as well, it winds up being a lot easier.
TD, you mentioned earlier in our conversation that sometimes that relationship does go toxic between the chief executive and the board chair. I've had that happen. I'm sure you've had that happen. No fun for anyone. We may have nonprofit leaders or board members who are listening to the podcast today who are in that situation right now. What advice do you give for a nonprofit leader who's sitting here saying, I'm in a really unhealthy place with my board chair, with one of my board members? What are some steps that you would recommend that person take?
Real easy. Well, the situation is not real easy, but the steps are very simple, right? Understand that the change needs to happen. Decide on the change. Act on the change. And during the entire process, be diplomatic and respectful. And I'll tell you why I think this. I did have a situation where I had a board chair who did not want to allow a strategic plan to go to the board. We'd been working on this plan for 18 months, did not want it to go to the board. And the reason was because it didn't include elements that he thought should have been in it. but he was just one vote, right? It's not the whole board. And so I wound up telling him, I said, look, I'm going to run this by the executive committee. And if they think it goes to needs to go to the board for a vote, it's going to the board for a vote. He said, hey, if you do that, I'm going to resign. And I said, well, you got to do what you got to do. And so I asked the rest of the executive committee, 100% of them said it is ready. We've been working on this for over 3 months now, just trying to get it to the boards for a vote for 3 months. And so it did. And it was approved overwhelmingly. And there was a blue envelope on my desk when I got back to my office with the letter of resignation. And the former board chair, immediate past board chair, came in and he said, TD, we're in extremis. Now, if you're listening to this and you don't know what that word means, it's in Navy traditions, it's when two ships are coming together and they're in imminent collision. It's a disaster about to happen until somebody does something to avoid it and prevent it. And, you know, everybody was up in arms. It's like, what are we going to do? The board chair resigned. And I said, look, we're just going to stay the course. The rest of the community doesn't know what our board rotations are. We choose a new board chair. We put a press release out that this person is ascending to the chair at our organization, and we're fine. And that's what happened. So I think a lot of times we overreact to things that need to happen when somebody needs to step away or step down. You remain diplomatic, you remain respectful, but you make the change happen when it needs to happen, and then you move on. And you don't worry about it too much.
I think all of us have to establish those boundaries in our life, in our career. And when someone steps over those boundaries, you have to be willing to either ask them to step away and separate themselves from the situation, or be willing to separate yourself from that situation. Yeah. So I think that's great advice, TD. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, me too, Greg.
I really appreciate you taking the time to join us. TD, for those who want to connect with you directly or get more information about Board Build, about the work you're doing, about your coaching and consulting services, how can people reach you directly?
Okay, well, if you're looking to bring Board Build maybe into your region, if you're excited about that, it's a revenue positive way to bring board matching and training, virtual on-demand training presented to you, by the way, by an improv comedy troupe. It's pretty amazing stuff. If you're looking at bringing that into your state or your region, then you can reach me at td.smyers, S-M-Y-E-R-S, at boardbuild.org. And you can go to boardbuild.org and check out the platform a little more if you're interested in just taking the training. If you're interested in my coaching or consulting services, I operate out of a website called A Bold Leader. So it's aboldleader.com. And my email address is td@aboldleader.com. And anything from working with brand new chief executives, succession is my specialty. So brand new chief executives or people that are in the succession plan, I work with them. And then I also help boards put together strategic plans and retreats. And I'd be happy to do that for anybody who's listening.
What a tremendous resource you are, TD. Thank you for taking the time to join us on the podcast, share your insights and your wisdom. Whether it is a board retreat, staff retreat, strategic plan, coaching that you're looking for, you can also reach out to us at Nielsen Training and Consulting anytime. If you're enjoying the podcast, highly encourage you to share it with your friends, your colleagues, your coworkers, as we continue to build this nonprofit vision community. TD, thanks for joining us. And to everyone out there, stay safe, stay well, and we'll be back soon.